What is up, everybody? Today we are talking about Jill Scott performing oral sex on stage and a lot more on Black Hollywood Live's The Trend. Moving everywhere just to get out. Took the hard way, another route. Tell me when you check for me. Ain't stepping cause homie ain't a threat to me. These are hard times, part of my mind. I ain't seen the light of day such a long time. I knew this life was made for me. I give back to them people who done prayed for me. Hopped up in the whip cause I know I got cheddar. Got a new bitch cause I know she is wetter. Hoping she don't splash on the Mason Margiela. Yeah, took her out to eat, had some chicken Marcella. Yeah, had to sacrifice just to reach another bracket. I ain't have a silver spoon, I had to work magic. We was taught not to hesitate, only regulate. Get the comma straight, new niggas bait. Skip the conversate, in a better place. Ain't no time to waste, lost then. But I'm here now, I'ma dominate. Hey, that's how you start a show right there, Marge. What's up with that, man? I'm feeling that. What's up, everybody? Welcome to Black Hollywood Live's The Trend. I'm your host, Daryl Kristen. Joining me today is Courtney Stewart. You got your little fall, like winter.
Yes, I got on sleeves. It's not hot no more, praise the Lord. Even though I love the heat, I'm glad it's like, you know, 60 degrees. That's good cold for me.
Well, it's supposed to get a little cooler at night, but you know what I'm talking
about. Well, I deal with that, but as long as it ain't snowing, we were talking about earlier.
As long
good.
As you're not in New York, I'm on the East Coast right
That's
now.
That's right. Representing, coming though. From the East Coast right now. You just saw his video, Mars, Lost Boy in the House. That's a great video, man. I'm feeling that.
Thank
I'm feeling
you
that.
So
that
much.
Track is hot.
Yeah, it's
hot. That's the way you come in a show right there. You good. Know, we was just like, you know, you feel
chill.
It.
We
you
like
feel it.
Vibe. It gives you that vibe that you need, right? You know what I'm saying?
And it definitely gives you that East Coast, too. I'm feeling that, you know. Mm-hmm. I was telling you, I was there a couple weeks ago. So, you know, I got my East Coast love because I lived there for a while. But it's nice to get back there and feel that energy.
Yeah, definitely. I just got back this morning, actually, from New York.
Nice.
I'm from Queens.
Oh, I know
Left
Queens.
Rack City.
I know.
I'm representing New York, L.A.
Representing, right. Killing it. Glad you came to the studio today.
Thank you, man. Thanks for having me.
We're going to talk about your music and a lot more stuff once we get through these hot topics. But first, we're going to start off.
Daryl's favorite moment of the week.
Favorite moment of the week. And I just want to let y'all know that Mars's mama is up in the house with us today. So, you know.
I'm feeling
a little funny about what I'm about to talk about. But mama said I could talk about it. So, and if she want to jump on the mic at any moment and make a little comment, she can too as well. All right, so I know you guys have probably been following social media this week. Jill Scott has been in the headlines because of the fact that she was performing at a show.
Yes.
You know, she's trying to bring her sexy back, and she always brings it whenever she performs. Mm-hmm. And she brought a little something extra this time when she performed the stuff. I knew Jill was probably a little freaky freak, but I didn't realize she was going to show it up on stage like that. So basically, if you haven't seen the video, we're going to show it, but it's a performance of Jill Scott, and she's letting us know what she likes to do for her man, you know, when she's in that special place with him. We got a little video clip here. We'll show.
Bring it on then.
All right.
I mean, that gives you a nice little tease of what the full video was. You know, you can catch that on many social medias
Many
social medias this week.
Floating everywhere.
I mean, like I said, you know, I'm used to Jill just, she talks about love. I mean, she mentioned sex, you know. I've seen her perform several times and she always brings it. But I really felt like she was bringing a little extra this time.
She brought it all.
People
were shocked though, but Jill Scott is not no stranger to the erotic in her music, in her poetry, in her performances. So the running joke is that like everybody that knows Jill Scott worked for real was like, why y'all surprised? Like, why y'all playing like y'all ain't know this woman?
I mean, I hear you, but here's the thing. It's like she's never really put, I mean,
Not to my knowledge.
She's never been caught on stage on somebody's camera and it's gone viral.
Okay, I mean, maybe that's it. But even in her music, I mean, she the way that she flows it is not just in your face. I mean, she still leaves it to a lot of mystery, I feel like.
I mean, she was trying to be mysterious.
It was mystery, right? I felt like I understood, though.
Magic hands, you know?
Mars, what did you think when you saw it? Because you may be on tour with her one day, you know what I'm saying?
It was interesting. Kind of a little bit uncomfortable, but it was interesting, you know what I mean? But yeah, that's her thing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I think I was just more in shock because I've never seen her do it. I mean, I'm not surprised that she's a freak, like I said, but it's just not the fact that, you know, she just put it out there. I was like, all right, Jill. I mean, she, you know, that video is about 2 minutes. We didn't even show the whole thing.
Yeah,
you know,
it's a much longer video.
It's a much longer video. So you should check it out. So that is why that is the video of the week for me.
And it made Daryl smile real wide.
I mean, at the beginning, I'm still smiling. Hey.
Oh, that's hilarious.
As far as I'm concerned, it's, you know, we can just talk to Mars at this point. We didn't even do topics. I'm happy. No, we should. Okay, what we got, Cody?
All right, we're going to chat about some stuff. And first up, we're talking about people, you know, doing positive things for the culture. And this week, y'all, we got the white folks doing great things for the human culture as well as the black culture, okay? Right. There's a group of women in Memphis, Tennessee that saw, there was a video that went viral that a group of black kids were at a mall. And they were basically escorted out of the mall, harassed a little bit by the security and the police, and escorted out of the mall for wearing hoodies. And one of the students or young persons, high school student, I believe, ended up arrested. And there was also a former journalist who was there filming the whole thing that also was arrested when this event went down. The argument that the mall is kind of giving is, there's been some back and forth about what really transpired. They're saying that the kids had their hoodies up and they were difficult when they were asked to take the hoods off because there is a policy in the mall that, you know, you can't have your hoods up for security reasons. They need to be able to see people's faces on the security cameras. Well,
wait, is that a full rule
And it's the rule in this particular mall.
Oh, okay,
I'm sure it's a fairly standard rule nowadays in a lot of different places. Because facial recognition and things like that, like, can't see.
I didn't know you had to watch what you wear to the mall. I mean, we have to watch what we wear to the mall. But I'm saying, I didn't know there was a rule in the mall about what you wear.
In this particular one, it's definitely a rule, and I wouldn't be surprised if it is elsewhere. But either way, this group of white women saw this report happen. Like, wait, hold up. Like, that's a rule? I didn't know that was a rule. Well, these sisters got themselves together, and they said, you know what? We're going to go to this mall, and we all going to wear our hoodies, and we're going to see if this rule actually applies to everybody. Well, what y'all think happened?
Let me guess. No. Nah.
This group of ladies wandered around the mall. They had their hoodies on. They had them off. They had them on. At one point, they did have them on, and they were asked very politely and kindly, oh, could you just take your hoods off? The security cameras can't see your faces. They took them off. But they then later put them back on. Nobody harassed them. Nobody kicked them out of the mall. No one escorted them out of the mall. No police officers jumped them and tried to arrest them or anything like that. So one of the women in the group, her name was Sherry Ennis, and she said, quote, it struck a chord with us. It struck a chord on us that we could do that. We could walk through there. We could take our pictures. We could wear whatever we wanted. And they went on to say that... She went on to say that we pulled them up on occasions and we were approached very politely to remove our hoods. And we did. And because it was obscuring our identities. And she went on to say, there's no question that some members of our community are constantly harassed and traumatized. Where those with the less melanin. Oh, she said with less melanin,
less
y'all.
Melanin. She went to,
are right. Given a pass. And we must do better. So they actually both, there was a group of four women. Two of them like posted on their Facebook pages and their Facebook posts went viral about the situation. And they definitely called them all out. Like, hey, we walked around this mall. We didn't get harassed about anything that we were doing with the hoodies. And you guys, like, the rule is fine, but the rule should apply to everybody. So the white girls was speaking to the rest of the world, y'all, on behalf of the people. Thank you. Shout out to them.
I agree. I mean, you know, piggybacking off of what Mara said, you know, we've talked about this on the show before. Even we had like, you know, Black Lives Matter and mm-hmm. even what happened with the black guys up in Starbucks. You
oh,
know?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's countless times that white people have actually stepped up and, mm-hmm. and said things to support black people. So, I've said this before and I know everybody knows this. I think it takes a full force to make a change, because unfortunately sometimes, you know, we as black people, as much protesting as we do about certain issues that happen to us, I think that, you know, they're overlooked. You know, they're like, oh, you know, they're complaining again, whatever, what have you.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? But when white folks step in and like, no, support these Negroes, you know what I mean? It kind of changes the game a little bit.
Yeah. I always feel like, you know, white people, y'all got to get y'all cousins the same way we got to get ours. Like, because they're not, when it comes through our filter, it's seen differently, as you said, to other people. But when it's your fellow white sister or white brother being like, look, I experienced that, this is real, they not making up, that they get singled out, like that gives a different energy to it and a different truth, whether that's right or wrong, who's to say, but in the end, it's helpful. So y'all keep on getting y'all keep cousins for white folks. I love y'all.
And I hope they go on the circuit too. Like hit all the, you know, hit the Ellens and hit the CNNs and, you know, get this story out there. You know what I mean? Because that's how people who are not African American or people of color who feel like, oh, there's no racism in the world, you know, this shows it.
For sure. Yeah.
And we need more love. Let's spread love and peace, y'all.
Spread the love.
And stop wasting my tax dollars arresting teenagers for dumb
stuff.
When
please
there's
stop.
Way more mess going on in the world that we need to deal with. But we're going to move on from that. All right. Speaking of great things that white ladies are doing, we got white ladies and black ladies coming together this week at the Red Table. So Ms. Jada Pinkett Smith was all over everything this week because of her. I mean, she's always all over everything with this talk show that she's been doing. But this week was a very powerful conversation between black women and white women and sort of the relationship and why those relationships over the generations have been strained in this country and really actually sitting down and facing it. And she sat down with her mother, as she always does, Adrienne, her daughter, Willow, and one of her producers, who is a white woman named Ann Price. And they really just went in talking about, you know, what it's like to deal with, befriend, and be in relationships with white women and black women. And one of the things that was sort of amazing to everybody, I guess, they were shocked that Jada Pinkett is like, she was addressing the fact that she has her own prejudices towards white women. And that she spoke about how white women with blonde hair are a trigger for her because she was very poorly treated as a child by a white woman with blonde hair, and mm-hmm. how she had to sort of grow into, even as an adult, even though she knew, you know, it's wrong, like you can't couple everybody in the same group just because they all have blonde hair, but how it mentally affected her so much that even as an adult, she's almost 50 years old, she's still having to like check herself on those types of things when she sees a white woman with blonde hair.
Yeah.
And then
it's a trigger.
Yeah, it's a trigger. And she also, her producer, who is the white woman, and she was speaking about how she wants to talk about race but doesn't always know what to say and is always uncomfortable and who is supposed to make who comfortable. Jada sort of gave her the opportunity to sort of dive into questions about her own questions and how to speak to black women and why Jada doesn't think feminism is applied to black women. And they had a great conversation about that. But the big PowerPoint of the episode was when Ms. Jane Elliott, who is an educator and activist, 83 years old, has been doing it for quite some time on race. She is also a white woman. Or as she says, I am a faded black woman. Because she's an anthropologist as well and is aware of the history of the human race and wanted to reinforce that we all are humans and we started from black women and therefore all of us are just faded further black women because we move further away from the equator, not because we're any different. So in the end, it sort of came together, it's been all over the place and sort of talking about even with dealing with black men and white women and those issues with why black women have issues with black men dating white women and why that is sensitive. And they just really went in really honestly. And lots of people felt a ways about it all over the net this week.
Yeah, well, I saw that. And then also, didn't she reveal that she had dated a white man and then her mom
had a problem
with
that? She did,
and
her mom admitted that she hated it.
She hated that.
And was really uncomfortable, for sure.
And then Jaden's been in the news, too, because of
Tyler, the Creator.
Tyler, the Creator, and said he's his boyfriend, and which people don't know if that's true.
But he didn't, totally, because he said it's been his boyfriend for life or something, and everybody's like, who knows?
Yeah, but, it's been they all have been in the news a lot this week.
Yeah, people are talking about all of that.
All of that.
So I'm curious, though, do you guys feel like that you've had do you have challenging relationships with white men in the same way that black women express having difficult relationship friendships with white women?
I mean, that's an interesting question because it sounds funny when you say I have several white friends. I grew up in a neighborhood where I was the minority of a majority white neighborhood and white high school, grade school, and everything. The thing is, there are certain things, even with my white friends now, that are triggers for me being a kid. I mean, being called a nigger a couple times, several times, and then also just like even just, you know, I remember they used to always like to touch my hair. Mm-hmm. And whenever still to this day, like a white person touches my hair, I'm like, let me have some personal space. So I know that's probably a trigger. Well, I know it's a trigger from being a kid. Yeah. So I would say, yeah, I mean, there's still certain things or like even, you know, just educate, just having to educate people sometimes who are not African American on certain etiquettes of things that, like when people say you're well spoken, that's a trigger for me. When white people tell me I'm well spoken, because I'm like, what do you mean? Like, what am I supposed to, as opposed to what?
Yeah.
So yes, to answer that question, clearly I still got some issues with that. So what about you?
I haven't come across that many issues with it. Most white men compliment me, you know what I mean, just because I'm cool. Like I'm cool. Like
I like that. He's like, I'm cool.
I'm cool.
He's like,
you know
I'm cool like that.
I just connect with people on a real level. So it doesn't matter like who I come across. I can vibe with anybody. You know what I mean.
I feel
nobody really tries me.
That's good.
I feel that. He said that. So,
but the most the times that I do experience it the most is when dealing with the police, though. For sure.
You still have that feeling. Yeah. For sure. Yeah. I mean, it's funny because I was trying to think to myself if I feel like I have some prejudices, I think, that are about white women and mistrust for white women.
Really?
And but it also came, I mean, all I've been around since fourth grade, third grade, I've been in majority white environments for my education and everything. So I definitely have had experiences that were super negative and they influence how you see. And it's not like, oh, I won't be friends, because like you said, I got lots of white friends, because that's just how it goes. But it is also those white friends, how much race conversation can you actually have with them that's very comfortable? And there's a fewer number of those white friends that I can really have race conversation with that they don't, you know, get all weird about and can really engage on that level.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's an interesting dynamic.
It is.
For sure.
You something else pop up?
I did. I mean, I just feel like sometimes people, like, judge. I mean, everybody judges, though. Yeah. I mean, white, black people, just sometimes, especially being out here in L.A., I feel like even when I walk into certain places, like, I get looked at certain ways. Like, it's all about perception. Like, I can be in a Mercedes and people look at me like I got money and then be like, ooh, like, what does he do for a living? You know what I mean? Or I can hop out of Toyota and people were just like, I don't know, I just feel energies when I walk into like certain rooms and stuff like that. So I pay attention.
I feel that. And LA is a weird city with that anyway, because you know, people are a little bit more, I would say, judgy of those type of things here anyway.
Sure.
They pay attention to that a lot more.
Yeah,
definitely.
Than they do in Ohio, where I'm from. They're like, you got a car? Good.
Yeah, but then again, you got another whole element of like Ohio suburbanness and like,
I mean, that's
that
true.
Family and class and that still that plays.
Mm-hmm. I feel you.
Nationwide. So yeah, that's true. LA will get a bad rap, but in the end, it's actually like we
everywhere.
Do it all over
a little
the
bit
country.
Everywhere. No, I feel like that. It's just, it's just not as in your face, probably.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
Yeah.
All right, we're going to move on to our EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week. I like it. Tony, give me that again. Remix that again. There you go.
It just hypes me up.
All right. EUR Web Story Spotlight of the Week. All right, this story is cray, y'all, because when I saw this video, I was like, yo, I don't even know how to react to this. But there is a teacher who's in California, LA teacher who was arrested for fighting his student after receiving a video that went viral of him punching this student who was making some racial slurs towards him. So the incident took place last Friday at Maywood Academy High School. Students said they witnessed Marston Riley, who's 64. He was asking a classmate to leave the room because he was not dressed properly in the, I guess his uniform was not proper. And the students start responding back to him, swearing and calling him the N-word. And, kids, as everybody does now, everybody's got their phone. So the altercation was captured all over the video. So the two were, going back and forth. And I guess the young kid threw a basketball at the teacher and was still throwing these racial slurs, and the teacher hit him in the face. And I mean, hit him a couple times actually. And when I say hit, I mean it was crazy. We're gonna show a little piece of this video. Oh. So they traded, blows a little bit back and forth, resulting in the teacher getting arrested on suspicion of child abuse. He was released Saturday after posting a $50,000 bond. The student went to the hospital and had minor injuries, but was released and, it was all good. The community and students have been actually coming to the defense of the teacher, though, because one person raised $100,000 so far, a little bit over $100,000, in a GoFundMe account to help with the legal fees that the teacher is going to have to endure because of all this craziness. Now, here's a little clip of the video here that we have of the altercation.
64-year-old Marston Riley appeared on cell phone video to punch the student in the face, then continued to pummel the boy to the ground. Witnesses say the fight started after Riley asked the student to leave the classroom for not wearing the proper school uniform. The student allegedly responded with a tirade of racial slurs.
Oh my God, he's beating him.
It was just like back and forward, back and forth.
Yeah, so that's a clip of the video. I really want to hear what you guys have to say about this. There's also another video apparently that surfaced of the teacher's been in an altercation before with students, and they said that, there have been eyewitnesses from other students that said that the teacher was attacked by, other students. So let me know what you guys think about this, and I'll get my two cents, because it's crazy to me.
That seems as if, the teacher had hatred built up against the student the way he was beating him up. You know what I mean? I mean, I understand, was it self-defense? Was it self-defense on the teacher's part?
That's what's sort of debatable right now, because apparently in the beginning, okay, the kid threw a basketball at his face.
Grab him up, take him out the classroom, but don't be fighting him in front of everybody. Yeah, right. That's not cool.
Yeah. Yeah, I I know that one side of me is like, these little evil kids be doing stuff in these schools, like these teachers. I have family that works in the school systems, and kids,
they'll try you.
They don't just try you anymore. They are next level when it comes to disrespect and physical abuse towards teachers. Yeah, like that's not terrible. Like a small, like that happens often. So I agree, though, that it looks, from what it looks like, it was definitely a built up. That student probably was a constant problem and an issue with him. Mm-hmm. And when the basketball was thrown at his face and he got hit and he punched the guy, he snapped. He definitely looks like he snapped and kept beating him. Because I agree, he should have probably restrained him and dragged him out. Yeah. But also, you're like, dude, this is a 64-year-old man. You done threw a basketball at him. This kid, these are high school kids that are the size of adults.
He said, you're going to treat me like you're an adult.
I'm gonna treat you like an adult. So that there's that little part of me that's like, he needed his ass. What?
Yeah.
But I know it's wrong. You're still a teacher. You have to be professional. Yeah. And he definitely got out of line. But dang, yo, that kid must have been.
He must have been trying him. I mean, the situation, I can understand how it could escalate, and you tried, and people, saying, and then you getting called the N-word, and they throwing basketballs in your face, and there's a lot going on, and this kid, like you said, this kid probably, I'm sure this is not the first time that this kid was a problem in class by any means. But it's the one thing where I saw the first two punches, but then the beating
that's the problem, that's when he was out of it.
And that's when I was like, ooh, that's, it's hard for me to completely side with the brother, even though I know he was tried and I want to support him all the way, but he took it too far.
In the end, he's the adult, and as much as it sucks, he's the adult. He needed to step off. He was probably like, I'm about to retire, I'm 64, I got one more year, and he lost it.
Yeah, I mean, well, hopefully not. I mean, hopefully with this just, you know, we'll see what happens, because like I said, the community and a lot of parents have actually, and students have been coming to his defense.
Yeah.
Now, whether that, I don't know what lines that's going to fall into, because at the end of the day, he still hit the student.
Yeah.
No matter what, you know, so.
I think they're just empathizing, but in the end, I don't really see how he can legally get out.
I don't know
how
he can come from that. I mean, I'm sure that kid's family or kid can sue him, you know, sue the school. Like, there's a lot. There's a lot of things
he's
that can go on.
Probably done as a teacher.
I'm actually thinking that regardless, he probably should be.
I hope it doesn't affect his pension.
Yeah, that's the only thing. Yeah.
Yeah.
But I'm thinking that he should probably.
It's been too stressful.
It's been too stressful.
No kids is driving.
Yeah, they're driving you.
Man.
They're making you wild. Go. You know, after this case, go on vacation. Go to the Bahamas for a little bit.
Shout out to the teachers, y'all.
Y'all got a hard life. Y'all got a hard life.
It is not easy.
Because I don't know if I could have that kind of patience.
Because I thought kids were bad when I was in school. Like I knew bad. Like wow, but nobody would step to a teacher. There might not.
We had a couple, but not like this.
Nobody that would step. Not like that.
Not like this.
No, they would do dumb stuff. They would speak out of turn.
Yeah.
Lead a class or something. Nobody was trying to beat down a teacher.
Not trying to fight them. I mean, maybe leave the room.
Leave and ignore them, all of that.
Angry.
But
I know somebody.
Yeah, well, this is going to be interesting development to see how this all lands for Mr. Riley. Good luck with that, Mr. Riley. Well, you got your GoFundMe account. Maybe it'll keep growing.
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
We'll see.
Speaking of fights, did you know that our favorite black couple had to go to counseling? Guess who that is? Guess.
Michelle Obama.
Michelle and Barack Obama, the king and queen of black love, had to go to counseling. Who knew? I did not know this was the case. But Michelle has been going on a tour because she just released a book.
Yes.
It's called Becoming Michelle, and she's given all the tea on everything that's been going on with her through the years, from miscarriages to life with Barack, through politics, through Trump, everything. She's given all the tea on that, so check out that book and go pick it up and support her.
Mine's coming on Friday.
But she did
on Amazon.
I know you did, but she did a recent interview in the December issue of Elle with, of course, Miss Oprah Winfrey.
Mm-hmm.
And in that, she revealed how, through her 26 years of marriage with Barack, it hasn't always been easy sailing, which relationship is. Shocking. Mm-hmm. But she said that they had to undergo counseling, especially, this is one thing that she said, when you get married and have kids, your whole plan once again gets upended, especially if you get married to somebody who has a career that swallows up everything, which is what politics is. She said, noting that being married to Barack taught her how to swerve, but his swerving sort of, I'm flailing in the wind, she added. So, he was an in-demand guy, and I'm sure through that political career, it wasn't always easy to kind of take the back burner to probably the relationship in a lot of ways. Mm-hmm. She said the counseling helped her learn to communicate and understand love in a different way. And she says she figured out how to build her life, and what works for her outside of just being the wife of Barack.
Yes.
So, hey, listen, I'm all about a good counselor.
I love all these black folks talking about therapy in any way, shape, or form.
Because I used to be taboo.
Yourself or for,
I used
exactly.
to be taboo with the black folks.
It's great. It does wonders. And we need it because we live in a wild world.
We live in a wild world. Yeah. So any support and positive things to keep black love alive, I support.
Shout out to them. Make all that money, Michelle, even for all them people that's hating on you for making all that money.
Exactly.
They coming for her for making money.
I know, but they
like for real.
Yeah. It's always just the haters. It's the nonsense.
Haters.
All right. Well, that concludes our topics of the day. Now we're going to get with Mr. Mars.
Like,
talk about some music and Lost Boy and everything you got going on. All right.
Thank you.
You start off in the industry actually as a Knick City kid, right?
Yes.
So what was that?
Growing up, I was very interested into everything like singing, dancing, rapping, acting. My first audition I had booked, it was a public service announcement commercial. So, officially I started first as an actor.
Okay.
From there, I just kept going to, different auditions, and the Knick City Kids was definitely one of them. I didn't make it my first try. I made it the second try. And then, I was dancing at Madison Square Garden in front of thousands of people. It was, magical.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow.
So and then, electrifying, yeah.
And then when did you know? There's always that moment I always say that, especially working in this business or whatever career you are, you know that moment where you're like, this is what I really want to do.
I need to be there.
was it during that, or did you have it early on, even before that?
It was definitely during that. I knew that I wanted to be in front of thousands of people, performing, entertaining. I want to do it all over the world. I looked up one day, we hit one of the poses, and I was like, yo, I want to do this for the rest of my life.
This is my jam right here.
Yeah.
Just
let it out. Yeah, it was cool.
And then you perform, you know, in front of Diddy to this Jacob Latimer. You know, at the BT Experience, Chris Brown,
I was in Justin Combs' Love You Better music video, actually, with Chris Brown.
Oh, dope.
Yeah, and Diddy had pulled up, DJ Khaled. It was a pretty dope time on set. I've opened up for Diggy, Jacob, Justine Skye, Eric Bellinger. I did, different shows, across the country. This was, a few years ago.
Okay.
It was pretty dope. Yeah.
And then I know we had the single and the video at the beginning, Lost Boy, but you're working on the album. Mm-hmm. First of all, what inspired you with Lost Boy? And then what can we expect from the album? What would you say your sound is?
Lost Boy, it came from a real place. The past 2 to 3 years, I've been going through like tough times, you know? And so nobody really knows that. At least only 5 people really know what I've really been going through in life. So Lost Boy is just a taste of what's coming on my project, basically introducing myself to the world, because I've never really done that before with my music, mm-hmm. kept it real. And so now that I've gotten older and I know more about myself, it's really about making sure that I put the right message out to the people, because I know that there's a lot of people in the world going through what I've been through.
Is there anything you could tell us as far as what you were going through?
Not exactly at the moment. I'd rather wait until you guys hear some of my music, the project, so then you can ask me about it then.
Well, we will be having you back.
We will, for sure.
I would love to be back.
What did you find? So you mentioned how this is the first time you're sort of feeling the most real in your music getting to that place.
Amazing,
has been the most challenging part about doing that and sort of peeling those layers back musically?
Just hearing people respect it, you know what I mean? People respect real nowadays. I'm starting to see that, and so that's what I'm trying to aim for, just being real.
And then what will the album entail? What inspired you to kind of create this sound for the album? What is the sound for the album?
Yeah, basically, so the sound is just what you mean, as far
like if you could put yourself in a category?
Oh, no, I don't really like to do that. Okay. I'd rather just, you know what, usually when people listen to my music, they don't really have a comparison, in a sense. They're like, yo, you sound like yourself, in a
that's
sense
play. But that's great.
Yeah, that's usually what I get back from people.
And then so when will the album be out?
Oh, the album, it'll be out early 2019.
Yeah.
Soon.
And who are the people that influence you with music? I mean, because, you know, we all have somebody who we look at and we would like to emulate that career. Who is that person for you?
So growing up, I was really into Michael Jackson. I was watching his tours and his music videos. Usher, his tours. Those people really inspired me to want to become an entertainer. Mm-hmm. And along the line, also Missy Elliott, her music videos were popping. That's why I incorporate the dancing and stuff with the rapping. And then along the lines, it was Lil Bow Wow, Lil Romeo. I was always listening to their music. I wanted to become a young star based off of watching them. And then now it's Chris Brown. He's one of my biggest inspirations in music and entertainment. Also Kanye, Jay-Z, a few rappers that are pretty relevant right now, you know what I mean? Drake is fire.
Drake does not put out
he
a hit.
Doesn't
you know
not
what I mean? Everything
Drake,
is a
Drake's
hit.
That guy, yeah, he's fire.
And you're a triple threat because you got the acting, you got the modeling, the music. How do you kind of balance all three of those things? And do you think that nowadays, you, in order to really make it, you have to have all those things?
I think so. I mean, why not have different streams of income? You feel me?
Get those checks.
I'm in a national McDonald's commercial, actually. It aired in September. So people were seeing me on TV, posting it on their story, yo, look, it's that guy Mars. Mm-hmm. So that was pretty fire. It was going around. It was played a lot during the football games and stuff like that.
Know what that means.
It was
great residual
checks.
But yeah, you definitely have to be well-rounded in this industry, you know what I mean? Don't be afraid to take risks and chances and try different things. That's the only way, you'll grow and keep progressing and be more of a force in this world, you know what I mean? I want to be a force. I want to change the world. I want to do great things. I want to help people. I want to give back to my community. I just want to be great, you feel me?
Man.
So, and spreading my message and connecting with people, I just want to heal, and inspire. That's my goal.
I like that. You used the word heal.
Heal and inspire.
But the word heal is, I feel like, so important, mm-hmm. especially right now, because that is somewhere I think we need to be. It's just
that's my goal.
As a culture, we need to heal. We got some, you know, some scabs that we...
some of them getting picked at.
Some of them getting picked at all the time, trying to try us all the time. So I appreciate that, brother. Well, I look forward to seeing more of your career. What's the next single going to be? Mm-hmm. You know yet?
Stay tuned.
Stay tuned.
All right.
Yeah, you know, check out, you know, all my social media, That Guy Mars with a Z. I think you guys see it somewhere. Yeah. Shout out to Black Hollywood Live for having me. You know, I really appreciate it. And yeah.
You got to bring the whole thing back. We got to bring all the music back.
And before I go to you, Courtney, Tony, can we go out to his music as well? We want to go out to Lost Boy. And Courtney, where can fans find you?
I'm all over the social medias at Stuart Starlet.
And you can find me at Daryl Christian on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. And if you are watching CBS on the weekends, you can check me out on the Lifestyle Show. This is L.A. Yeah. And before we leave, I also want to give a sincere condolence to the Sean Diddy Combs family. We lost Kim Porter, a gem, and unexpectedly. And my prayers are with him and his family. Sure. And also to all the people who have lost their homes in this tragic fire that's been going on in Southern California over the last few weeks.
Yeah.
Truly, my heart goes out to
all
you guys.
Stay up.
Somebody and eat a whole lot of turkey next
week. Tell somebody you love that you love them, because that's the most important thing. And we'll see y'all next week.
Or not.
From executives Kevin Undergaro, Dario Kristen, Tiana Hobson, and the entire BHL staff, we would like to thank you for supporting Black Hollywood Live, the first online broadcast network dedicated to African-American entertainment. For questions or comments, contact us. info@blackhollywoodlive.com. Like us on Facebook, tweet us, or Instagram us at BHL Online. And I am the official voice of Black Hollywood Live, Scipio, Instagramming at KingXOBay. Thanks for tuning in.
Hollywood Redefined.
The views expressed here are those of the host only and do not necessarily reflect the views of BHL or its owners or principals.